Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, help us to have the understanding which will allow us to be a benefit to your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. In life, we want to be honest, we want to be truthful, and to not lie. We recognize how important it is for us to have a society which does what it says it will do. We could ask ourselves, how can a stable relationship be built if one or both persons have a relationship which lies? Whatever they want to say and whatever they want to have done to be at their convenience. Well, besides the fact that lying is unhealthy for a late relationship, we are told in the Bible not to lie, and that liars have their part, their place, in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. That's Revelation 21:8. It's just too obvious that we should not lie. But who has never lied? I suppose only Jesus. How many times have we justified our lie because we did not want to tell the truth which would hurt another person? Or maybe we did not want the truth to be known because it would hurt us? Well, to lie is just too commonplace. Don't you know that sometimes the truth is just too painful? And even as the receiver of information, we would rather hear a lie. Yes, I think it can happen when we're dealing with a family member or just about everyone. Maybe a parent doesn't want to hear what the child has done, and maybe we would rather hear a lie about what our government has lied to us about, because if we knew the truth, well, it would be hard to hear, and maybe we would have to have some responsibility in it. Maybe we would have to speak up just for the sake of righteousness, for the sake of God's righteousness. Oh, that is a hard realization, to understand that we ourselves have a small part. We have some responsibility to bear when we do not speak up for something evil that is going on around us. Oh, I've struggled with that one. For right or wrong, I have justified my own silence. I say to myself, I would pray about it. And yes, I did. Often enough, it was right there on the spot. Sometimes it was a short prayer, and sometimes it was repeatedly praying. Well, we can always pray. We are told to pray, and that is something we should always do. But should that be something that keeps us from action? Well, I don't really know. It depends on the situation, and I just hope that you look at it and you decide with good conscience what your place should be in it. And I pray the same for me. I hope you and I can do more than pray, if the situation requires that in the future. Just be aware. Maybe it's just too obvious to say that a liar simply cannot be trusted. And I suppose there's a difference between a habitual liar and someone who lies just occasionally. Well, that's always a trouble for a relationship, to lie. And we can ask, who lies? Does our government lie? Well, sometimes it does, and it certainly has. I think of why our founding fathers gave us three branches of government. For each to keep the other in check, I see. So it's a good balance, I'd say, that we want to have. As a young man, I was very patriotic. Well, I still am very patriotic, very much, but in a different way. In the Vietnam War, I saw that there were elements of untruthfulness that were told by our government. And then, As I studied history in school and out of school, it was just too obvious that there were some really big lies that had been told. Now, our government is a good government, and it is full of good people. But there are some very bad people that find their way to the top levels of government. Maybe they're not bad, but they surely have a different set of values from us common Americans. And the people with those values, well, they promote each other and they rise to the top because of that. Because they agree with each other's principles, and because they find themselves in good company. So they promote themselves to the top levels of government. And that is the situation which we are dealing with today and in these last decades. Our government and our society has had a great struggle to find out which philosophy will dominate the United States power structure. Oh, it's a good question. And it appears that it not only has been a great battle, but it will be in the future. It's my hope that this battle can be fought by a great majority of the people in this country, and that we will keep a moral high ground, together with goodness and compassion in all of our hearts. It would be along the line of the Good Samaritan parable. And I note that the Good Samaritan, he practiced goodness and kindness, but he did not bring an unknown person into his home. He kept the unknown person away from his family. Now, would he have brought them to his home? I don't know. But I think there's simply a message here that he paid for their care. You may disagree with what my thoughts are about this, but that's okay if you did, because we each have our own ideas. Well, another point to bring up is that we do recognize dangers. We do recognize when there are powers or principalities that could propose something to us that is not a good thing. And it's kind of like the warning about fire. Fire, it can warm us or it can burn us. Yeah, it was George Washington who said it just a little differently. He said, "Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master." I want to believe that my government will look after my best interests. That's what I have believed in the past, but too often I have heard stories about events which they appear unbelievable, but you hear the stories with the same theme enough that you eventually believe that some big lies have been told. Sometimes you don't need to look any further than what is on the surface, and we are aware that lies have been told. But if we continue to look, we will see more and more of the story, and sometimes it is not a good story. Sometimes the official story does not make sense, and sometimes it really does have just plain lies in it. Now, sometimes it's our own fault, too. Sometimes we don't look. We don't look at the whole story. We don't look at all the information. And as an illustration of this point, I would bring up that between one-third and one-half of the people in the United States today do not realize that on 9/11, not only did those twin towers collapse, but so did a third building. And it collapsed in a free fall, just like the World Trade Towers. So, what was a 47-story building doing that it simply collapsed? It was not struck by a plane. It was not struck by anything else. And yet this 47-story building simply collapsed in a heap. I've never heard a good explanation of how that was done or what caused it. We have, they say a fire, but it's hard to believe in the sensibility of that. We know the tragedies of 9/11, and we know that that's one of the things that happened. Why did Building 7 collapse? Well, and why don't more Americans know that Building 7 collapsed? Look, I support my government. Please know that. But I'm not blind to the fact that the government has different branches and different organizations within it. And different people find different things important. I know that. And they have a budget which proves it. So, I'm also aware of the fact that our U.S. government bought 1.6 billion bullets over the last few years. You know, that's a lot of bullets. 1,000 millions is what it is. And a million bullets is a lot. But 1,000 millions? Well, that's enough to fight a war for years. I know there are conspiracy theories, and I don't like to get involved with them, but I sure pay attention to what people say. Not that I put a lot of weight on it all, but I like to think about things and consider what the facts are. I like to look at the basic evidence to see if there is truth being told or a lie being told. And along this path, I have found lots of surprises. Things good, things bad, and even some things that are just plain awful. Things I don't want to believe. Because they are repulsive, because they are evil. But then I find out the evidence shows them to be true. So that's sometimes where truth leads. And it's sometimes a part of why people keep secrets. Dark secrets, evil secrets. You know, on a previous broadcast, I couldn't exactly remember when John F. Kennedy said it, but he said in 1961, and by the way, he was assassinated in 1963. And what he said was, "The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a free, inherently and historically people, we are opposed to secret societies. We are opposed to secret oaths and secret proceedings." That's what he said, President John F. Kennedy. And I find it just so ironic. He said that, but after 54 years after his assassination, that there are still large sections of the report on his assassination that have not been made public. And it was supposed to have been made public after 50 years, but the government still would not release it. So, in many ways, we are the most free and open country and society which has ever existed. But there is still plenty of room for improvement. And I think that's the lesson we can take from this, that we want to get better. One of the things that I notice that the impact of a free and open society that we have had is with our internet. Now, our internet is a wonderful thing for communication, but there were powers that be that said we should restrict free access of information. That was done under our last president, Obama. And he gave a portion of the internet governing body into the hands of a group of non-United States governments. That's not good, but it did happen. So somehow we have to remember we are in a struggle. We are in a fight for our freedom, to keep it, to maintain it. And awareness is a big part of it. So That's what we have to strive for. We have to pay attention to the details. We have to represent God's holy righteousness. Yes, we do. Even if we do it imperfectly, we still try. That is our position, both as a good people and a Christian people. So, in this situation, we have to recognize that the people who want power, what do? They are drawn to the government, because that's where power lies, in the hands of the government. And just think about this Thomas Jefferson quote. When governments fear the people, there is liberty. And when the people fear the government, there is tyranny. Now this quote continues. The strongest reason for people to retain their right to keep and bear arms is, as a last resort, to protect themselves against tyranny in government. Now, this last sentence is often not mentioned, but I think it's okay to quote it, because I just mentioned a few minutes ago that our government has acquired 1.6 billion bullets and numerous firearms to go along with it. You know, there's a point. They need arms and they need bullets. There's no doubt about it. But isn't that just a whole lot? That's enough to fight years and years of war. Well, it's something to be aware of. We should be aware of power, of influence, and of government. Well, these situations have always been in a struggle. That's just the way the history of man has gone. Mankind has always been in a struggle. You go back as far as you want, there has been struggle. Go back to Rome. Go back to Greece. Go back to Cain and Abel. Ha! Yeah, always a struggle. But somehow we are told what to do and how to live righteously. And that example is in the Bible. It's a good book. The good book to follow, to read, to look at. Well, I think it's also good to look at history and to learn from it. We can see that there has always been a group of influential people who have followed a different God. And that different God is the God of this world. Not the God of the Bible, but the God of this world. These people in general, they want the pleasures of the here and now. They want the power. They want the power of the here and now more than they want the joys of eternal life with God in heaven. So, it's an amazing thing, but even if they know what the Bible talks about, they are still choosing an eternal life in hell instead of an eternal life in heaven. So, they have a choice of pleasure now, and that's too often what they are choosing. You can look at history. You can see from our history, our early history onward, oh yes, that has been the case. Even in ancient Israel, it was that way. And we can read in Ezekiel chapter 8, there is an example of how there are priests hidden or deep in the darkness. And where they were, they supposed that God cannot see them because it was dark. You know, don't laugh at this, because too often that's what people think today too. They think that they cannot be seen because they hide their sins from God and from other men. They think that if what they do is done in secret and they don't tell God and they don't tell anyone else, they think that God will never find out. I think that's more common than we realize, because we either have one point of view or the other. Before we were saved, we did have ideas, maybe right along this line. But what these ideas do is it allows people to continue to sin because they believe that their sin will not be discovered. Oh, what a concept, huh? God does not see and God does not know. Even though he knows everything, nope, he doesn't watch your sin. Oh, boy. Well, it's not uncommon for people to think that, especially if they are living in the darkness of this world. But I surely do hope that everybody realizes that there is a God. That is where we came from. And as we realize there is a God, as we realize there is a God of the Bible, we start to understand his nature. And we realize that all things, all of them, are known by him. He knows our deeds. He knows what we do and whether it's good or bad. He knows this. So we might as well confess to him the things that we have done that are wrong, the things that are bad. We need to ask forgiveness and we need to repent. And repent means to turn away, to not do them anymore. That's the way of the Bible. That's what we're to do. Well, there have been more than a few whistleblowers who talk about things that were done wrong, things that were improper. Often enough, they involve our government. Sometimes these people are born again, and after they have been born again, they choose to have a close relationship with God. And they confess their wrongdoing, and they change their ways, in their thoughts, and in their actions. And that's one reason why evildoers hate Christians, is because they don't want to take any chance of their sin being found out, or made public, or anything like that. It's pretty obvious that darkness hates light. And evil hates God, because when the deeds of darkness are exposed to the light, well, often enough we just don't want to admit that we did something that was wrong or evil. And the first chapter of John talks about this. John is a good book to read. It's often one that people can relate to. Lots of times it is suggested for a new believer, and I can understand why. But the point here is that we don't want our dark deeds to be brought to the light. So, yet God tells us that we are to have truth in our life, and that truth is written, recorded in the Bible. Now, we are to read the Bible because it shows you the truth of God. Read it like it's important. Read that book because it's important, and it is important. Just like your relationship with God is important. God, through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit, pursue him, pursue his truth, and do the best you know how. What is the best you know how? Well, you know that, and so does he. It's something that is a matter of our conscience. We understand what the best we can do is, and so does he. So act on it, do it, be faithful. It's quite a contrast, just to contrast the God of this Bible with this world, to contrast heaven with this world. Yep, you know, I started this broadcast today by talking about lies. Lies are, unfortunately, they're unfortunate and they're hurtful to people, even to ourselves. And lies are just so present everywhere. Oh, they are all over the place. Lies. Oh, yes, they're everywhere. They're in our personal life. They're in our business life. They are in our political life. And they are in our international relations. Yes, international relations. And on a smaller scale, they are illustrated by Joshua chapter 9 in about 1400 B.C. when the Gibeonites wanted to make a peace treaty with Israel because they knew Israel was coming into the land and that they were displacing people all over the place. And so the Gibeonites sent ambassadors, and they told themselves to be from a far, far distant land. But and they looked like it. They had their oldest shoes on it. They had moldy bread. They had all sorts of things that made it look like they were coming from a distant land. And yet, Israel made a treaty with them. And that treaty, as I see it, continues to be honored today. God honors the treaties. God honors things. And this is just an example of what he does. The Bible shows the evidence that God so strongly honors his word. He honors his promises. And he also tells us to pay close attention to what we say, because he wants us to honor that also. You see, God hates sin, and God hates the consequences for sin, but he gives them to us. And that's just one of the things. God judges our sin. There's a passage in Genesis 15, that indicates that at one point we will be in the fullness of the iniquity. And that's what happened at that time, when the fullness of sin has been reached by the Amorites. And I think that theme is something that's going to happen today, too. And there are a surprising number of people today who have the sense that all sorts of events are just at the door. Well, I have the sense of it too. But I also realize that it could be in 40 or 50 years. That's a true statement. I don't know. Soon, what is soon? Is it soon to us or soon in God's time frame? Well, that's just a question. You know, sometimes I think a little bit out of the box. You know that. And sometimes I talk about them. And I do realize that it's just a certain fun for me to look at these ideas. Ideas which could be sensible or not sensible. It's just fun. And so when I get more information, information that either supports an idea, it's very good. Or the other thing is the information could not support the idea, and then I put the idea away. And I don't hold on to it because there's so much of the things that we hear that are, they're just ideas. They're not for us to hold on to. But discernment, that is what we need to have, is discernment to see what makes sense and what doesn't. And that's one of the things that God gave us an intellect for us to consider events of the day and let people talk about them. And, you know, I talked about lies, and that includes deception. For deception in the past, oh, there's been a lot of it. And we must be aware that there are people with a different agenda, and they want us to believe a lie. And I, of course, think of the number of times deception is mentioned in the Bible. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. Oh, there's so many times that talk about that. Once I made a page on it, and there are descriptions, just especially in the New Testament, but it talks about we should not be deceived. And in one way or another, it talks about that. Yeah, don't be deceived. understand what the truth of God is. Understand the events of the day. And don't be deceived, because if you are, you'll well believe a lie. Oh, there's lots of them. And even in the plain old world that we live in, the physical world, there's things that happen which are kind of questionable, like will the poles, the magnetic poles, flip? Oh, that's something that's just a question. It's hard for us to imagine because we never saw it. Our great-grandparents never saw it. But there is evidence. The scientists say that it has happened at least 5 times, and they study the remnants of the Earth's magnetic field and how it's been in various rocks. So, is it true? Well, I never saw it happen, but I can believe that it has happened because they have a logical argument. Logical argument. Oh, that's a big thing, isn't it? What are we guided by? I know that there's questions about so many things. And one of the things that these days is talked about is there being a celestial planetary body coming our way, and that it has it's Nibiru, and that it has an iron nickel core just like Earth does, and so it has a certain magnetic effect on Earth, and there's other planets with it. They say that it's a collapsed sun accompanied by Nemesis, which is has a very strong gravitational field, and that it's a twin to our sun. So this is just one of those things. I'm not a scientist, and I don't know, but I listen to people who talk about it, and there is reason to say that it just might be true. So is it true? That I don't know. But there's people who have had videos of this for a year, various people. It's just interesting to see. It might be true. It just might be, and we don't know, but it could be. So let's take a little closer look at it. You know, they say that in a month or two that it will be evident to people on Earth, and that it'll be visible with the naked eye. Maybe it's true. Maybe. We'll see in a month or two. But because there's certain evidences that line up with this thought, we can say that it just might be true. You know, there's been an extra gravitational pull in the past. And maybe this is something that planetary bodies will produce on Earth. And that is an argument as to why there have been certain natural events like earthquakes and volcanoes that have been on the increase in this century. There's been actual evidence of an increase in earthquakes and volcanoes. The evidence that I have seen goes back to in the 1960s when I was young and I was reading about legends. And one of the things that was a theme was that there was a war planet that made war with the planet Earth. And so that was, I think it was an allusion to the planet Nemesis or that star system coming this way, they say. And in 1983, there was certain officials, including NASA, that made the statement that there was a star system coming this way into our solar system. So I listened because I had read those things earlier in my life, and then it was another 10 or so years before I read about the effects of what would happen if there was a planetary body passing close to our Earth. That is to say, it would pull our equator even further out of alignment. You know that the Earth rotates. Okay, so that means it bulges out just a little bit like 27 miles. It's 27 miles more around the center of the Earth than it is to go around it pole to pole. So if there was to be another 5 miles extra, because of there would be pulling besides the rotation of the Earth, well, it would cause an increase in earthquakes and volcanoes. And this year, that's what we're seeing. We are seeing an increase in earthquakes and volcanoes. There are now 38 volcanoes active on Earth. And I don't think there's been another time, in, at least not in man's history, where we have seen 38 volcanoes active on Earth. Now, we can't really say that it's because of that Nibiru and Nemesis system coming this way, but we can say it might be. And if it's true, what would that mean? Well, I think that it's okay to listen to scientists, listen to the news, and see what people say about it. Mostly the people and the governments and the scientists are not saying anything at all. But I do notice, I have noticed in the last years, there have been several broadcasts by the Russian government. Isn't that funny? The Russian government talking about Nibiru and Nemesis and things that our media just doesn't want to talk about. Our government doesn't want to talk about it. So, I don't know if it's real or not, but I know that it might be. I haven't seen it, but I know that there's people who claim to have seen it as they've used filters and looked into the sky. On YouTube, there's people who say it's there. Like I said, I haven't seen it. I don't know that it's going to happen, but if it would happen, there's a lot of things that would happen to our Earth. And just because it might happen, I'd say, let's do a little bit of preparedness, because the results would be so devastating. A few steps towards preparedness, I think, would be a good thing. It's kind of like when the hurricanes came this year, or in years past. The hurricanes have such a great big effect on people that it just makes sense to have some steps of preparedness for the just-in-case situation. And I say that just-in-case includes water, includes food. Yes, just have some basic preparations. Isn't that just smart for anything? You know, here on the West Coast, we have so many earthquakes. And the earthquakes are a real possibility. There's even the Cascadia Plate and the Juan de la Fuca fault line out in the ocean. Well, I've talked about that. It's just one of those things that show the possibilities of a big problem. There's the earthquake fault line of the New Madrid fault line. There's the Yellowstone caldera, the super caldera. That all these things are possibilities. And so I say, do something. Do a little something to get ready. Will you do enough? I don't even know what enough is. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But I know that it's always better to have some preparations than to have no preparations. So, what I say is, take some steps. Do something. I've said many times, I do not know what's coming. It could be a moderate situation. It could be a big, big, big situation. I don't know what's coming. But I know that any steps you do for preparedness will help. It will help you, it will help your family, and it will help others. And isn't that just the way we Christians are supposed to do it? That's showing our love, and we're told to love one another. So there's things. If you don't read the Bible, you don't see how to interact with these truths. You don't see what it means. You don't get a fullness of the understanding that God has you to have. He has it all available. Just read it. I know we often enough think we have done enough just because we go to church. And maybe that's all we need to do. We believe, we know we believe, we say we believe, and we go to church. Is that enough? I'm sure for a lot of people it is, I suppose. But I think the big thing is for us to follow our own conscience and figure it out. Understand where you stand, what your position is. Yep. I say do what you can. You know what that is. I don't. But for the preparedness part, there's the spiritual preparedness and there's the physical preparedness. Spiritual preparedness, well, that's eternal, and you know your position in that. Surely you do. And if you are not sure, then make your steps sure. Make it sure. Confess Jesus Christ. So, because we don't know what's going to happen, all we can do is take a few steps, a little at a time. Now, some people can take big steps and do big things all at once. Maybe you have some resources around that you can acquire lots of things. But for most of us, we have to think, plan, and do. Think, plan, and do. Because, well, you want to. Who is responsible for you? You are responsible for you. No one else is responsible for you but you. Ha! Yeah, that's the truth. And often enough, we're responsible for our families. And we help with our neighbors around us. That's another thing we do. So, think, plan, and do. Because really, there's not going to be anyone else but you to take care of yourself. Just look at the situations in the past. Sure, there's government. Sure, there's churches. Sure, there's FEMA. But they have not, well, our government and FEMA have not done so well. Anyway, not consistently. And sometimes they're churches and just plain nice people. Good people who want to help other people. And they do in times of disaster. Oh, we need that help. But they might be bringing you things that you don't need. They might not have what you really would like. So you can take some steps. You can figure this out for yourself and have the things on hand that if an emergency were to arise, you can have these things for yourself, for your family, and others. Yes, help one another. That's what we're supposed to do. Again, I do not know what will occur, and I do not know what will occur. This is something which we can be aware of, things and situations. And I think that as a community, we can help each other, whether it's a Christian community, which is the best, or a neighborhood. Yes, help one another. Be prepared to help if some kind of a situation occurs. Oh, yes. And after I talk about these things, how can I not think of Matthew chapter 24? Ha! Yeah, Matthew chapter 24. Oh, that's a big chapter. It talks about the apostles are asking Jesus, what will be the sign of thy coming? And he says, be not deceived. Ha! That's a big one. Be not deceived. Oh, that's a recurring theme in the Bible. But the point is, Matthew 24, it does talk about trouble coming. It does talk about earthquakes in diverse places. It does talk about famine. In general, it talks about great big upheaval and turmoil. Oh, it's going to be difficult whenever it happens. famine. Yes, famine. And that means people won't have enough to eat. Will they die? It just might mean that, I'd say. So you read it. Read it again and again until you can recognize that these are the signs of things happen before he arrives, when he arrives. Matthew chapter 24. Sure, we don't know when this will happen. It could be in 7 days. It could be in 7 years. It could be in 70 years. We just don't know. But be prepared. That's the idea, preparedness. Of course, be prepared in our spirits, because we want to always be ready to meet God should that occur, when that will occur. But also be prepared, I'd say, in the physical sense. We see that example from the Bible. There's things where we can see the advantages of having a storehouse of things to share, things to give. It was a benefit for people in the Bible. So have those things on hand. And remember, you can write me and get some ideas. I do have a preparedness pamphlet that I give away. So just send me an envelope that has your self-addressed stamped envelope, and then I'll send one back to you. And these things are intended to let you see some ideas, and then what you do with it, well, that's your choice. It's just that you have ideas that are presented to you, and there are all sorts of people, all sorts of organizations that are telling you to prepare today. And they say, look out, something could happen. And they are from the state of California to the federal government agencies, to the highway patrol, to corporations, to clinics. Yes, they all seem to have paper, sheets on preparedness. Different things that you can do to think about preparing. Why? Well, I wish I knew. Or maybe I'm glad I don't. I'm not sure. But we do get the idea that there's some pretty serious events happening. What are they? Well, like I said, we don't know. But we are given that message to be prepared and to be not deceived. There's lots of things that could happen. Oh, boy, we don't know what it'll be, but they're serious, serious things that are happening. And like I said, who is responsible for you? Who is responsible for your finances? Who is responsible for your physical health? Who is responsible for your safety and security of your home? Is it your parents? Is it your spouse? Is it your pastor? Is it your employer? Maybe it's your government, city government, state government, federal government. Who is responsible for these things? You know that the answer is you. You are responsible. And also you're responsible for that ultimate question. Do you believe in Jesus? That's the ultimate question, because your eternal life depends on it. So get your orientation of God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. That's what you do. And be not deceived. Be not deceived. Oh, that's a message that we get told. Ah, yes. Be not deceived. Read Matthew chapter 24, because there's lots going on in chapter 24. Earthquakes, famine. The world is in turmoil. Read it at least once, and then consider, even though we don't know the timing, whether, like I said, 7 days, 7 years, 70 years, no, there's some things you can just have on hand. And by the way, that's what my preparedness paper talks about, that you can have for free. Just send me a stamped self-addressed envelope. It's talking about the things that last and last, and I simply say whole grains, sugar, salt, and a way to cook it. Now, there's all sorts of flavors you can add. You can add a cast iron pot. You can add all sorts of things. These are just the most basic items for the just-in-case situation. Relatively inexpensive, but the grains, whole grains, they last and they last and they last. So get whole grains and a grain grinder. That's what I say. Now, sure, you can get preparedness meals, and they sell those in various places. They're good, too. Lots of things are good. But I look at the living food, which is grain. Grain you can plant again. It's alive. You can get greens from it when you sprout it. It's just a good thing to have grains. I say whole grains. And then you can grind it, and you can get the most nutrition out of it when you make bread. That's what my preparedness is. I'm a preparedness guy, but it's not like I have everything. It's just that, like you, I have struggled to get these things. I have tried to make things happen, and I have to make the sacrifices to make it happen, just like you. So take steps. Take steps. Have a plan. You have to have a plan or you won't do the things that need doing. And that plan can be a little or a lot. You can have weekly steps. You can do something sometimes all the time just so that you have certain things available for that just-in-case situation. Yep. Yes, I talk about that. Because there's situations that come up. Now, in my life, I have happened to have seen a lot of situations. I have ended up traveling a lot. There again, I saved my dollars, and that made me be able to be watchful and take advantages of specials where I could afford to go places. And I did. I've seen a lot in life. I've seen things all over, from the freezing 40 below zero temperatures in Alaska. Ha! Oh, that's something to get into. To the 120 degrees in the Mojave Desert. Yep, been in Africa. I've seen that too. Oh, there's lots to I've seen. And it's the human experience. I've seen high altitudes. I've seen lots of things. So the point is to have these preparation steps. That's what I want to urge you to do. Have a few. Have a lot. Whatever you can do, just start a plan and do something. Now, we might see signs happen very soon where we could say, oh, I wish I had done this, and I wish I would have done that. And that's the advantage of a plan, is you actually take the steps to do something. You don't want to rely on other people. No, you want to be somebody who can help other people, not to need the help of other people. And that's what you do when you have a supply. Have that storehouse of goods, whatever it is. I know what I think of so much is the medical. I think of food, those basic foods, which includes oil and sugar and salt. Yeah, wheat and a wheat grinder. Oh, yep. So all these things, I say, get some of them. And even if you get those buckets that are sold in stores or through the mail, you can get buckets of food. They're good, too. I think they're not enough. I think that, yes, get them. It's better to have something that they say it's a 30-day food supply or maybe a 20-day food supply in a 5-gallon bucket. And that can be true. For some people who are inactive and not doing very much, it can be enough. But I say, by all means, get plenty. Get plenty. And to me, that means whole grains. Now, you look at this and you figure it out. Nobody can see these things except you. Everybody knows that we all have our different choices. But for that free paper pamphlet that I have, I do hope you will write me and I'll send it right back to you. Whether you want to be have your address kept for me to keep it or not, I don't keep them unless you ask me to keep them. So if you have written me in the past and you want another one, write me again, because there's just thoughts. These are things to inspire your thinking. Oh, yes, and I have to say my name, John Stephenson. John Stephenson, and my post office box is P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And I urge you to look at my past programs, too. Look over them. Some of them will be interesting, and some of them will not be interesting. I know everybody has their own views on things. Sometimes you'll want to hear about my many guests. Oh, I have good guests on, I think. But there's just things you can listen to. I took over the radio program this year, so the programs from January, I think one into February or something, are dealing with that preparedness issue. By all means, have a listen online. Go to www.christtoday.org. www.christtoday.org. And click on one. See what's on a show, and then, make it go on a various pages to places in it to see if you're interested in listening. You may be, you may not be, but by all means, just have a listen and see how it strikes you. So, yes, listen. Listen to the shows. They are supposed to be instructional and inspirational. You can get ideas. You can get my information sheet. You can get other people who have other information on preparedness. But do it now. It's better to have your preparation done a year too early than a day too late. And if we do have a crisis coming, well, don't forget, everything is gone within hours at the store. You can't buy anything anymore. It's gone. I've seen it happen. The stores get emptied of everything that you might want. And I have had times where I've thought, oh, I need this, oh, I need that. And what happens? Well, I end up with 15 packages of dental floss, for instance, forgetting that I bought it before. So the point is, get a list. Make a list of the things that you need. Put the most important things in order. And then take steps to get them. Yes, that's the best way to do it. Get your list together. And then, like I said, if you want some inspiration, write me and I'll send you my preparedness brochure. So I want to thank you for listening. I hope that I pray that God is with you, that you walk with God, and that God walks with you. And thank you for listening.